It's time to Fade the Chalk.
Fade the Chalk.
Presented by the FTN Network, helping you win your fantasy leagues and dominate in DFS. And now, here are your hosts, Derek Brown and Adam Pfeiffer.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to the Fade the Chalk podcast, brought to you by the FTN Network. I'm your host, D-Bro, and riding with me, as always, to discuss some fantastic receiving prospects for the NFL Draft is my co-host, Adam Pfeiffer. Dude, it is Thursday. It is going to be a fantastic set of episodes. We got Thor Nystrom from NBC Sports Edge in the house to talk about two fantastic wide receivers. Going to kick this episode off with Devontae Smith. I got to get Thor up in here, man. You got to follow him on Twitter, at ThorKU. Thor, what's going on, man?
Not a lot, brother. It's good the draft season's here. Great time of the year, and it's great to be with you. Great to be back.
Dude, it's been way too long. We talked about rookies last season. Got to get you up in here to talk about them again. Adam, are you ready for all of this?
Feeling great. I love talking wide receivers, and that's what we're doing today. And then we're doing it with Thor, who, by the way, when we were talking on Twitter over the last couple days, Thor, I realized how jealous I am of you. Of first of all, your name, obviously, but then like the GIF possibilities and everything and the marketing. It's just it's probably so ideal.
It makes it very easy for me to respond to things.
Love it, man, because it makes it easy to put out like hype clips to get you on the podcast. I was like, all right, here's something with some backing Zeppelin music. Okay, there we go. Pink. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, even when I wrote my quarterback column yesterday, my quarterback ranking column for work, then work tweeted it out, and they tweeted it out with the Thor GIF. Like I think it was like the Thor yes GIF, mm-hmm. like the work, you know, like the NBC Sports Edge, you know, NFL draft feed, you know, it's like, oh, like work's even doing it now. It's just kind of funny, you know.
It's beautiful, man. I absolutely love it. You're talking about, you just released your quarterback article. If people are not following you on Twitter, I don't know what the hell they're doing. They've got to be checking out your work, man. That quarterback article, your positional rankings, we talked about this last year. Dude, you went deep into the weeds of UDFA world and talking about like hundreds of prospects, man. Your work is fantastic. I mean, what do you got in the works right now? Cause I know it's grind season for you, man.
Yeah. Thanks, man. Yeah. I really do enjoy this. Like I enjoy what I do, but like this process of going through the players, I enjoy more going to the bottom of the barrel in some ways. Cause I cover college football for a living, you know, and it's not NFL draft season. So, you know, these guys at the top of the board, I've been watching them live and covering them, you know, every day, you know, for, you know, 3, 4, 5 years. And so like, getting to parse some of these guys further down the board, watch, you know, more of them and stuff like that. That's what really gets me going. Like at this time of the year, it's what gets my juices going again, and trying to find those kind of sleepers, you know, projecting those kind of guys. And like, in last year's class, my biggest offensive sleeper was James Robinson, and that ended up turning out well. He should have gotten drafted. And then fortunately for him, he got into a really good, situation. And then my biggest one on defense turned out to be Legarius Sneed, who I thought was misused in college. And that one turned out pretty well too. It doesn't always work out that well. I've had, as people will remind me on, I have some cool, really fun active trolls on Twitter who will remind me of my misses as well. And I really appreciate that. But you know, every now and again, I do have some hits as well. And that's what I enjoy, you know, doing these rankings, going deep, and then, leading up to a 500 player big board right before the draft with 500 comps, just because I can. It's fun.
I absolutely love it, man. I mean, it, really just the nuance that you cover and all your writing and how deep you go. I mean, look, we all got our receipts, man. I mean, they're all out there. I don't delete a damn thing. So everybody comes at me for all my Jamichael Hasty love. I don't give two shits. It's still out there into the ether. It's
Bishop
all good,
Sankey,
man.
Bishop Sankey over here.
Hey, we all got him, man. I mean, look, shoot or shoot, and sometimes you miss. It just happens, man. So let's dive into Devontae Smith. We have got to discuss this, man. He has been fantastic. You look at his production profile. I mean, look, standing at 6'1", 175 pounds, coming out of Alabama, over 1,800 receiving yards, 117 receptions, took home the Heisman, 34% target share. The guy was playing fantastic. And he's been doing that basically since he learned to play football. Four-star recruit coming out of high school, had 20 scholarship offers when he entered the collegiate level or was looking at it. And you go all the way back to high school in his state high school playoff game. The guy was fantastic. Like, basically, he has had the ability to take over a game even all the way back then. 8 receptions, 111 receiving yards, returned an interception for a touchdown, returned a kick for a touchdown. I know all these guys have, like, literally been ballers their entire lives, but I do have to mention it here. Looking at the production profile, Thor, I mean, like, what jumps out to you off the top?
There's a lot to parse with Devonta, a lot. There's a lot of unprecedented things he brings to the table. He's the first Heisman winning receiver in what, over a decade. And then, you know, just in terms of, you know, what he is physically, it's sort of unprecedented. You were talking about his dimensions, the amount of receivers who have been over 6 feet that have been under 180 pounds to get drafted in the NFL. The list is minute. In fact, I think I have it here. This millennium, there's only been two receivers over 6 foot and under 180 pounds who've been drafted, period. Snoop Minnis got drafted in the third round in 2011 and Paul Richardson the second round in 2014. So Devonta is going to be the third from that group. That's what concerns you. And you know, a lack of high end juice with that, and then scheme production, which we can talk about in a bit. But you know, on the other hand, he's about as natural playing the position as you'll see. And that sort of natural feel for the position allows him essentially to mitigate, you know, every perceived or real weakness, you know, that you can talk about or shortcoming. And then also, you know, just talking about his build, which sometimes, you know, people, you know, just touch on, but they don't speak about specifically. He's a very interestingly built character, which if you've looked at him, you know, some people have made jokes. He looks like a, you know, like a cartoon character, or sort of like stretched out, or like,
yeah, his like hands basically touch his ankles. Exactly. His wingspan is just ridiculous, man.
It's 70. His wingspan is 78 and a half inches. So, like, yes, he's extremely skinny. Yes. But he's 6'1", and he is the wingspan of a receiver who is significantly taller. Mm-hmm. And not only that, he has some of the best ball skills of any wide receiver that we've seen come into the draft in the past several years. You know, you talk about Ja'Marr Chase and how good he is physically, how good he is down the field. You know, he was just awesome as the X outside receiver for Joe Burrow in LSU's title run in 2019. Devonta Smith over his career has just about the same contested catch rate as Ja'Marr Chase does. Devonta is able to mitigate the effect of his, you know, skinny frame and, you know, his lack of height by, again, he is just longer, you know, than he sort of appears. And then he just has these awesome ball skills because he has tremendous hands. He just doesn't drop the ball. And then he's able to mitigate, a lack of high end speed. He's not like Waddle. He's not like Ruggs, you know, he's not like a 4.2 or a 4.3 guy. You know, he'll be lucky if he runs a high 4.4. You know, he might even be low 4.5s. We'll see that.
Yeah, I was kind of putting him on film, just watching him probably in that 4.5 range, which is fine, man. I think,
well, it's going to cause
a, this, like, I mean,
it'll cause a conniption fit on Twitter when it happens.
Oh, but, of course. Yeah. But I mean, that also kind of leads us down the path of, like, isn't 40 time just a bit overrated, like, considering overall skill sets and wide receivers?
Of course.
Even when we talk about running backs, somebody's like, oh, the running back ran this. It's like, how many running backs and wide receivers you've seen that have been, like, super, super successful that run 4.3s and what have you? Like,
guys,
at the end of the level.
Devontae Adams and DeAndre Hopkins are Blazers. Remember that?
Like, oh, yeah, dude. I mean, absolutely.
I don't care. But like, we talked about this when we were talking. I think it was when we were talking about Najee Harris when we did his breakdown. Like, do I look at 40 time? Absolutely. It helps. It's obviously nice to have players that can just absolutely run faster than anybody else in the field, but it's not even close to the end all be all.
Yeah. And, you know, just going back to that point, like, Devonta is able to, you know, not only mitigate, some of the speed stuff, but also I think surprise, some defenders with how quickly his burst is off the line, especially with, you know, just how fluid his movement is in conjunction with that burst. You know, it's like, it's sort of like Neo in a way, like because his movements are just so damn efficient. You know, it like in some ways, like in, but more so, like we talked some ways like this with CD Lamb last year, where like you'd see it in the open field or, you know, sometimes when he's running routes, but mostly the ball in his hands with him, but just like the efficiency with his movements, with Devontae, you see it all the time coming off the line, right when he gets the ball. He's just really good, knowing how to use space, how to manipulate space. He just seems to have this like Mozart sort of sense about him again. And it allows him to sort of play bigger than he is, to play faster than he is. And in some ways to play stronger than he is, although that's probably more of a heart thing. Like, cause he's willing to take on contact, and it's going to be interesting in the NFL to see, you know, I'm not sure how much people talk about this, but like, you know, how well is he going to hold up? You know, we'll see. Like, you know, he played a lot in college, obviously. In the title game, he got hurt. You know, that was sort of a fluky injury. Obviously, his like thumb got caught or whatever. But like,
You don't see tissue injuries. You don't see joint injuries. Like, he doesn't have massive.
And he's
playing against big boys in Alabama. Playing at like Middle Tennessee, State, DeVry U. Like, I mean, like, he's not playing like these random ass like D3 schools.
I'm not trying to bring up a red flag where there's not one. What I'm trying to say is, he's a far more physical player, number one, than you would think looking at him. He also brings with him more sort of pop in that. And that, you know, again, whether it's that, you know, just surprising defenders, you know, by sort of being willing to fight for extra yards or what. But he is, you know, again, it's a guy that plays stronger, bigger, faster, than he is, you know, than you would just see like on the, you know, the test or the whatever. So like, yeah, like when people look at him, I think that's like why, you know, some of these things, it's, you know, his production doesn't necessarily match, you know, if you just looked at his picture, but that's why some of these things are happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, Adam, I know you watched a good bit of Devontae's film. Looking at his numbers and when you turned on the games, I mean, anything that we haven't hit that kind of like really stood out to you about him? Because I love, just like Thor's talking about, I love the ability that not only can he find the soft zones and or he can find the soft spots in zone, but the guy can win outside. He can win with footwork and his hand work versus man and press as well. What stood out to you, man?
Yeah, I mean, this is a player that played as the X for Alabama when they had multiple first-round talents, you know, whether it was Ruggs and Waddle before he got hurt and stuff like that. Like, he's NFL ready, and I think Thor hit on it. Like, the first thing that I noticed and Thor brought up, which I was like, okay, check that off the list. I saw something that Thor saw, so I can retire. He's a natural. Like when you watch him, he just kind of always knows what he's doing. And especially like out of his cuts, like it's really, there's no like massive like take other than the fact that he just knows what the hell he's doing on the football field. And that sounds kind of like cliche and boring, but that's just kind of the vibe I got from watching him. Like he always I think Thor mentioned this point too. He just kind of glides when he's on the football field. Like he makes the position look relatively easy. And then Thor also mentioned, like, he has really good hands. His body control is also really good, which helps with some of the issues you might have about his weight. Like, he can still control his body in midair and make adjustments. Just a really good football player. And we don't really care about it for fantasy either, but I also watched him a couple times throw some really impressive blocks. So there's that too. He's just a complete football player.
I think that, like Thor is bringing up here, I think that he plays, like, if we would just watch him play the game and you wouldn't know that he's 6'1", 175, outside of like seeing like the slender frame on film, would we be that freaking concerned based off of what he's done and what we've seen him do in big spots? And we haven't even talked about or discussed the fact that, like, after Jalen Waddle went out after in that fifth game, Devontae Smith was the dude. Like, he was the guy. And even in the national championship game, nobody had a freaking answer for him. So it wasn't like Alabama was throwing at you. Like, yes, they had Najee. Yes, they have other talented players on the field. Devonta Smith was spearheading that. If we're talking about, we're worried about a guy that's 6'1", 175, and can he be press? Can he be the guy? Can he be the guy walking into the NFL? He just showed you that this last season when Waddle went down, and he was the unquestioned dude. Like, that was fantastic. It was great to see that even in his skill set and on a production standpoint. Because him and Waddle were what and what through the first four games. Like, you look at targets. Smith had 47 versus Waddle's 29. Receptions, 38 to 25. Receiving yards, Waddle had him beat with that only because he was being used way down the field. Like, Waddle had a 22 yards per reception to Smith's 12. And they split it right down the middle in touchdowns. So, like, the fact that, like, Devonta Smith, teams had to, like, he was the guy in the passing game that teams were like, okay, we got to stop that guy. And they still couldn't. Like, what do you make out of that, Thor? Because to me, that's also another feather in the cap for Devonta Smith. Like, teams could not shut this dude down.
Oh, yes. I think it's a tremendous point. Yeah, I mean, you know, Alabama had, you know, an offense that was essentially just south of, you know, LSU 2019 or comparable to LSU 2019, even though, you know, skill-wise, like you're mentioning, after Waddle went down, it was basically just funneling the ball to Smith and to Najee Harris, you know, and like they did not, they had the opposite of a dual threat quarterback. Mac Jones had like negative rushing yards throughout the season. So it was, I mean, like you were really, really, really isolating touches onto those two guys. And the, you know, Mechie was sort of like a, you know, a secondary guy, you know, and again, the offense was just sort of unstoppable anyway. You know, in part, you know, credit Sarkisian, but, you know, I ton of credit, of course, to Devonta, because, you know, that was the guy, of course, that every team was trying to stop going in and knew they had to stop and nobody could. With Ohio State, they were categorically incapable of it because their cornerback one was a guy named Sean Wade. Other SEC teams might have been better equipped to do so, but were still unable to. And I think a big, you know, thing with Devonta, one of the reasons why, beyond, you know, again, we'll get to the scheme stuff in a second, which I think is, you know, it bears talking about with this evaluation. But, you know, like, you know, as far as like the incapacity to shut him down, talking about his route running in conjunction with the ball skills, in conjunction with that sort of Gumby like catch radius that sneaks up on you, you know, like just like the burst and the, you know, athleticism is sort of sneaky as well. The route running, like, you know, it becomes sort of cliche in and of itself, because like we talk about all these receivers every year and every one of them, you know, you're either like, oh, you know, he's a good route runner, or, oh, you know, he's a raw route runner, or, oh, he didn't run a full route tree. But you're never really like, you know, terribly specific, you know, like, but like, you know, the you know, you know, about the, like, the specific guys. What I really like about Devonta is it's not just precision, right? Like, it's not just sort of deception, right? Because the job when you're running a route is it's to create separation, right? You want that guy away from you because you want the ball coming to you, and, you know, you don't want him to make a play on it. You want to make it easier for you. You want to make it easier for your quarterback. He has those things, of course, but he adds a layer of complexity by, like, you think about in baseball where when there's a pitcher who has like an awesome fastball, for instance, but he only maybe has one secondary pitch. These guys are generally relievers, right? So they have like a fastball and a changeup. And then like you have guys, you know, like there's very few pitchers that can throw like five pitches, and, you know, still less that can throw like six, like a Greg Maddux. You know, maybe Maddux could throw even more than that. That's what Devonta's like as a route runner. Not only, you know, again, the other stuff, just precision, awareness, except you talked about finding the, you know, the soft spots in the zone, et cetera. The extra stuff. But in addition to that, he adds extra layers of complexity on every single route he runs because he varies his speed and his tempo every single time. So it's not just the precise cuts and the head movement and the deception and everything like that. He's also gaining separation by adjusting the tempo. And so he's, these guys think they can pick up, you can't pick up a tell on Devonta. You can't get up close to him. You can't, like, when people bite on him, they're always wrong. He just has this innate ability to be able to sort of suck people in and have them be wrong. You know, it's like a poker game to him. And so again, you know, when we're talking about him, it's, to me, when I think about Devonta, it's a guy who's been able to overcome various limitations. I mean, we talk about limitations. He's still a world-class athlete, you know, like, I mean, you know, he's no bum athlete, but like, you know, in, you know, when you're comparing him to world, like the creme de la creme wide receiver athletes, he plays above, you know, some of these thresholds because of the things we're talking about, but also he's sort of deceptively, he has some deceptive strengths in terms of that. One of them being, like I said, being a guy who's 6'1", who has a wingspan of a receiver who's closer to 6'5", who just has sick hands and a sick sense of timing, probably the best sense of timing of any receiver you've seen in the last 5 years when the ball's coming in. So you talk about those things in concert with the awesome route running, you can start to see like how all these things coalesced into Steve Sarkisian offense to give us the best receiver season we've seen in over a decade.
I mean, seriously, man. And you're talking about the scheme. Do you think the Sarkisian scheme, I don't want to say accentuated what Devontae Smith did. I mean, do you think that was just a really great urge? Or, I mean, what did you see as far as the scheme that kind of like either helped or with Devontae Smith's production this last season or even his career?
Well, I mean, like, it helps, of course, right? Like, but it's like where the rubber meets the road, sort of when you're evaluating him to the next level. It helps, but it didn't make him, of course, right? Mm-hmm. Like Devonta Smith had more screen yards last year than any receiver in the nation. But then again, he had the best receiver season of any receiver of the last decade. So like, you know, you can't use some of these stats necessarily to nitpick him. He also got, in addition to the screen yards, he also got, just anecdotally, he got a bunch of what Sarkisian's really good at, you know, in addition to sort of spotting stuff like that. He does a lot of the stuff with movement and people who don't watch as much college football, but perhaps you watch the national title game. You might recall Devonta Smith running up and down the line, you know, pre-snap. And then,
Ohio State had no clue.
As much.
Yeah. And you're thinking like, no, wait, clue. Why the hell isn't there more Ohio State guys trailing this guy? Or like, you know. Like I know what they're about to do. They're about to throw to Devonta out there, and it's about to be a touchdown. That's Sarkisian just really good at that, like spotting that stuff. And okay, now you're going to be motioning that way, and we're going to get a, you know, free one-on-one where you're going to be much like, you know, you against Sean Wade in the flat. It's going to be a bloodbath.
Yeah, Devonta still has to execute that at the same time, though. Like,
well, you know, and what I mean? He does, like, right? Like, right. I mean, yes. I think the point being is in the NFL, it can't just be Steve Sarkisian just being like, oh, hey, we got a freebie.
Right.
Because we got Sean Wade is the cornerback boundary one out here. So let's just do a, you know, a motion out there to the right, and we're going to have a free touchdown.
Yeah.
So I think that's where some of that stuff comes in. I think some of it's overblown again. And I think some of it's, you know, again, his size is always talked about it as a negative when some of it, I think actually helps him in a strange way.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting. I mean, we're going to get into weaknesses here. And we talked about the size. We mentioned his stature a good bit. And Thor's talking about receivers previously that were drafted in the first round. Even if you push that out to the second round, so receivers since 2000 have been drafted inside the top two rounds that were 6'1" and 180 pounds or less. The list is not kind, man. Like, I mean, I'm not throwing shade at Devonta Smith, but this has to get brought up because I know people are going to talk about, like, that's one of the first things when Devonta Smith gets brought up. It's not just the numbers that he put up. The second thing that always gets brought up is, well, how big is he?
Here's the list. First thing now. That's all people are talking about.
Well, here's the list of the receivers that are of this stature. 6'1" or lower, 180 pounds or lower. They've been drafted inside the top two rounds. Paul Richardson, Roscoe Parrish, Dexter McCluskey.
Roscoe.
There's some random names on this list, man.
Love the Roscoe.
Marquise Brown, KJ Hamler, Tavon Austin, RJ Soward. I could be butchering that poor dude's name. But again, the random guy. Dennis Northcutt, Riedel Anthony. That's a name I haven't heard in a long time. Bert Emanuel, Ted Ginn, Jaquez Green, Deshaun Jackson, everybody knows, Dexter Jackson, and Titus Young. That's the list since 2000. So we know that Devonta Smith's going to get drafted inside probably the first round. If everything just goes sideways, the second round, like that's going to happen. Like, what is that list like? What jumps out to you about that list? Like, we know that Devonta Smith is going to be an outlier because of this sample set. What do you like? I take that with a grain of salt. What are your thoughts there, Thor?
Well, yeah, I sort of do too, because you know, the better guys on that list, you know, Jackson being one, you know, they're more sort of explosive guys out of the slot, and that's not how I think of Smith. Smith is like, you know, again, like going back to some of the jokes on Twitter, he just has a funny build. You know, it's mm-hmm. like you don't see his build. You know, it's like. He's like skinny as a pole, but his like, you know, his, you know, like you were saying before, is he could tie his shoes like standing up, right? Like his hands go, you know, like so he's got this enormous wingspan, but he's, you know, he's skinny as a pole. He's 6'1", and then he's not, you know, he's not nearly the athlete that, for instance, Deshaun Jackson. You don't have that game, right? So like it's not the same thing. And like, you know, those are interesting data points for sure. And I think they're fair to bring up. But I think what's unfair would be to insinuate that sort of like this is, you know, Devonta Smith has, you know, an excessively high risk profile because of this. I think probably you bring that up to show as supporting evidence that he is an extremely unique prospect. Yep. Like we just don't see guys with this dimension that play like this. CD Lamb was really interesting with his dimensions. And then CD ended up testing a little bit better than we thought. And so he sort of pulled himself out of like, it was a little bit less unique and he weighed in a little bit more. But it's going to be interesting to see, you know, what the testing that we get here is. And I mean, we already got the measurements, but yeah.
But if he comes in like 180, 185 after he's been working out a good bit, if he runs a little bit faster than, because I mean, even like looking at last year's class, we heard like the knocks and the dings, because it's every year, man. It's like people talk about not what the players can do as much as what they can't do. Like last year, everybody was like on their high horse about, well, Justin Jefferson doesn't play the outside and he's probably slow. And then he comes out here and he balls out in the combine, and then he does nothing in Minnesota but win versus man and press, and he wins as an outside wide receiver. Like, yep. So I would love as a draft community, if we got more of what can prospects do versus let's just start ticking off and making the list of what these guys can't do and trying to put everybody in the same type of box. It's like Devonta Smith, if you look at that entirety of that list, it's littered with guys that are not the same type of route technician that he is. They're not they don't have the same type of ability to win on the outside versus like not even if you're talking about strength, but technique as well. So I think that there are a lot of different nuances that you can't just like, I rattled off this list and it's to talk about like where he stands versus these other guys with this similar build, but we can't put him in that same type of box. Like I'm not going to do that.
Like half, probably more than half those players you mentioned too, none of them were used in a role that Devonta Smith was. Like you mentioned Roscoe Parrish. I'm pretty sure went to the U. Basically a return man, was used as a receiver, but nowhere near the extent of Devonta Smith. Ted Ginn Jr. was like really, really
put him in that bag too.
Right. Ted Ginn was actually a really, really interesting prospect. But like, again, he was a lot on the return, and Devonta Smith returned some kicks last year as well. But like these guys weren't thrust into 100 target roles because they didn't have that overall skill set. Like Deshaun Jackson was obviously electric in college, but he at the NFL level is, you know, him being at his size isn't as huge of a deal because he's primarily running, you know, streaks all the time. And he's not running the route that Devonta Smith's going to run. So especially because like, okay, I don't know how is Devonta Smith really going to put on that much weight once he enters the league?
No,
like I don't think this is something that's,
and I honestly hope he doesn't put on a lot of weight.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. Like, it's not something where it's like a weakness where it's like, okay, the coaching staff can work on him with it and he'll improve it. Like this might just be his build and that's fine. And if that's the case, and there's really, I mean, we can talk about it and say how it could potentially limit him. But at the end of the day, if we don't think he's going to put on much more weight at all, then it really kind of doesn't matter. We just kind of got to have to look at the player for who he is and how dominant he is and how good all around he is.
Yeah, I don't disagree with any of that, man. I mean, kind of diving into any weaknesses or I'd like to always kind of like put this in a different shade. Areas that we do think that Devonta Smith can improve on in his game. Or just things that we think that, like, okay, these are going to be areas that he's not going to be elite. He's probably never going to be elite at. I mean, from his frame, I could tell you he's probably never going to be, like, a strong yak guy. We're never going to talk about Devonta Smith at the NFL level as being a guy that's going to be near the top of the NFL in yards after catch. Is he going to be able to break arm tackles and break some tackles? Yes, I think that he can do that. He showed you that on his film. Is he ever going to be freaking A.J. Brown and muscling dudes and stiff-arming guys and breaking tackles and then the top five of yak in the NFL? No, I don't think so. You know, so we're talking about things that in his skill set, but also some drawbacks or limitations. I think that yak is one of those things. Also, I'm really curious, and like you're talking about, Adam, I saw a lot of film where he did put some hurting on some guys in the open field, and he held up in blocks. Considering his landing spot, I mean, not that receivers or that's the end all be all of what we care about out of a first round wide receiver, but talking about his skill set, it's got to be mentioned here. But Thor, what are your thoughts here?
Yeah, I don't have the same concerns about him after the catch. I do agree about the he definitely has a lack of muscle. But you know, I like, you know, he like I was saying before, I he just has this preternatural ability to sort of turn up feel, you know, just like a fluidity to him. So I that aspect of his game, I'm okay with. The lack of muscle, though, it hurts him in a couple different areas. Number one, the few times that he sort of struggled with collegiate corners, it was always against physical collegiate corners, because he can beat even speed because of his feet and because of, you know, his craftiness, et cetera. He can always overcome speed, but because of his, he's never gonna, you know, I meant like he can't add more weight. I think he was like, when he came into Alabama, he was less than 160 pounds. Like coming out of high school, he's like high 150s. And like he worked to get up to 175. Like this isn't like, oh, you know, Devonta going to the NFL, like, you know, he can get up to 190. No, this is.
Yeah, he's not Chad Johnson out here.
No, this is Devonta. This is his worked for, you know, frame, unfortunately. So, like, maybe he could get to 180, but I don't see him get much bigger than that. But it's like the contact stuff, like, you know, like that, you know, press corners. It's going to be interesting to see in the NFL. How he deals with that, because he can get jarred off of his route. That's like the one time where he sort of loses that magic, you know, like Superman with his kryptonite. It's like the one time where he sort of gets zapped of his powers, you know, when a good press corner can get his hands on him. So, you know, and he didn't have to face that much at Alabama, both because they just don't face it much in general, but also because of the scheme. You're not gonna risk it there on the outside. So we'll see in the NFL. That's gonna be you know, one interesting thing. And then, you know, again, is he gonna hold up long term? You know, I would assume so, but that's gonna be interesting just because it's an unprecedented you know, for a high first rounder receiver, you know, sort of a physical package for an ex receiver.
Yeah. I mean, I think that we're talking about him somewhat it just being in the outlier box, both because of his build, but also like skill set and what have you. I mean, Adam, anything jump out as far as weaknesses before we kind of try and put what we're talking about as a really differing prospect in some type of comparison to a former or current NFL player? What do you got for areas that he can improve at?
I mean, I don't really have anything else to add other than what you guys mentioned. It's just kind of like the one thing I will ask, I guess I'll ask Thor before we get to the comps and the landing spots, is like in terms of contested catches last year, and especially like jump balls in the end zone, Devonta was great. Thor, how do you project him in terms of like in the NFL, like on passes across the middle? Cause he has like these late hands too. It's kind of like Devonta Adams. I remember Devonta Adams was talking about this last year, where like he has this ability to not react to the football when it's coming until the last second, so the defender doesn't even know the ball is coming. Like, he'll do that, but obviously the frame isn't ideal for somebody across on passes across the middle. Like, do you think he'll still be fine in terms of that regard? Because in jump balls, I think he's still fine. We talked about like the uniqueness of his game and his ability to make contested catches.
I love that, man. Yeah, and the point's so well taken. Because it's just an intelligence and an awareness thing, right? Like, not wanting to give a tell to the defender until the last possible second, you know, just winning yourself, you know, that much extra free space, or keeping the defender's hands down just that much longer. And only people that can sort of, slow, you know, the game down in their mind to a certain degree, you know, the only, you know, Neo, right, from the Matrix, like, do it like that. They're the only people that you think of that can sort of do it like that. Because,
so is that the comp, Neo? Because I like it.
Well, there's like, there, you know, like, I mean, obviously, you know, like, you know, he doesn't have that sort of like physical ability, but like, you know, just in terms of like seeing the field, like, there's so few guys that do that, but like, that sort of trick, like I said, your point's so well taken, because he is one of those guys that does that and is able to do that effectively, where he can hands catch despite putting the hands up late, you know, just in terms of like timing and stuff like that. It's impeccable, depending on the scenario. You know, his release package is varied depending on what he needs to do for that. And you know, when the ball is incoming, whatever he needs for that situation, he's just such, again, fluidity, you know, is the word that comes to me. It's just whatever the situation calls, it's, you know, like Bruce Lee, right? Like, it's like water, right? Like, whatever the situation calls for, it's like, that's what, you know, he just sort of does. And that's, again, how he plays a bigger and faster than sort of like, you know, what he is. I think I just confirmed to Bruce Lee and Neo at the, okay.
I love that. That's so good.
All right, guys. So, I mean, we've talked about how much of an outlier that Devontae Smith is. I mean, we've discussed that here through and through. Regardless of however we phrase this, man, I think that he's so incredibly hard to pigeonhole with his skill set, frame, all these things. Like, Marvin Harrison's about as close as I got, and I still don't even know if that's a good one. Thor, I mean, where are you at on comps for Devontae Smith? Or do we not? Is he just the unicorn, man?
Yeah, you know, the Harrison one's ubiquitous, because, you know, Harrison was a unique prospect himself, and I think that's why it comes up so much, you know, just talking about like the, you know, I guess efficiency of movement, if you don't want to use the word glide, you know, or fluid, and, you know, just sort of that innate understanding of space, you know, in conjunction with just really good route runner and hands and stuff like that. I think that's fair. That would obviously be the bonanza comp. If you want to go a bit lower, you'd be talking about someone like Keenan McCardell, someone like that. You know,
still a fantastic career to be had, my friend. That's still a good one too.
And I mean, I think that, you know, either way, that's what Devonta is heading towards. You know, I think, you know, and again, you know, talking about him from an NFL perspective, you know, whether if you're going to talk about him as a top three prospect, he sort of has to be a guy who's going to have a Hall of Fame career. Like, if he's going to be the next Marvin Harrison, he should be the third pick. You know, but if he's going to have, you know, if he's not going to have Marvin Harrison's, if it's going to be a lesser one, you know, then he should be going a little bit further down the board. So that, like, you know, when we're parsing these things, you know, and sort of getting into the minutia of these prospects, like, that's what we're sort of parsing. And I think that's where, again, the rubber meets the road for Devonta. You have to decide, is he worth one of those super duper premium ones, or are some of these limitations going to hold him back and he should be more of a mid first round pick?
So, Adam, I know you're pretty much on the Marvin Harrison train, right? Or do you have any other names you want to throw in for Devonta Smith's comp?
Maybe Antonio Brown, in some ways. But, yeah, I mean, that's what we've seen a lot, is Marvin Harrison. I like the Keenan McCardell call as well. That's a name people, like, if you said that for a comp, a lot of people would be like, kind of like shake their head. But like D-Bro mentioned, like, that's nothing to scoff at, really. So, yeah, he's obviously very unique, though.
Yeah, and we're talking about this unique prospect. I mean, Thor, where do you see him landing at? I mean, we've talked about inside the top three. Do you see him escaping the first round? And if so, like, where does he go in the first or second round?
No chance he gets out of the first round. That's statistical problem. No chance at all. I don't think there's much of a chance he gets out of the top half of the first round. But yeah, I mean, like, you know, right now he's sort of fighting Chase for wide receiver one, Waddle for, you know, and Waddle, you know, like it's sort of a three horse race right now for, you know, that distinction. And if people think they know what the order of that's going to be right now, they're crazy. I mean, last year, mm-hmm. everyone thought they knew the order of the top three receivers, and everyone swore it was going to be Judy, Lamb, and Ruggs. And the order got inverted on us at the end there. This one, you know, it's way more open. So, I mean, we'll see. But yeah, it's hard. Right. And then the other thing is we don't have, we did get his measurements, at the Senior Bowl. So it was two things were confirmed that we already knew, which is that he's super skinny and he has super long arms. But it'll be interesting to see if we can get, some testing numbers on him. Mm-hmm. That'd be the only other thing, but obviously we have all the film catalog that we need so far. So, but yeah, as far as a team fit, it's hard to say. Cause I don't think he's going to go third. Some of the rest of the stuff just depends on the process that he, Chase, Waddle in particular have.
Yeah. I don't see him probably making it outside the top 10. And regardless of if you think that the Dolphins trade back, does he go there? Does he go to Detroit if they don't end up like tagging Galladay or what they do? You know, I think that one of those teams probably inside the top 10, I think his absolute floor is probably the Giants at 11 or one of those teams like in the top 15. Do you see any other fits for him? And Adam, I mean, what are you kind of envisioning where Devontae Smith can go, man?
Yeah, I also don't know if he's going to go third overall to Miami, but if they do decide to go that route, I think it makes a ton of sense, obviously, with Tua there. Like, Tua, at his time at Alabama, was obviously not throwing into a lot of tight windows, very similar to Mac Jones this year. And then last year, when he was under center for Miami, like, there was nowhere near the amount of separation that he saw back at Alabama. You look at the two of the bottom three players or pass catchers in the NFL last year in terms of average separation, right? Devontae Parker was tied for last at 1.7. Mike Gesicki was second worst at 2. Like, these guys didn't get a lot of separation. Preston Williams, I don't think, had enough targets to qualify because he got hurt towards the middle of the season.
It wouldn't have mattered. Preston's right, exactly. Not a separator
all,
either.
Exactly. They're all contested catch guys. So to get somebody like Devontae Smith who can separate for Tua, especially if he's going to be your guy, if you're not trading for Deshaun Watson or somebody like that, it would make sense. But if he doesn't go there, I mean, all these teams, right? The Eagles can make sense if they prefer him over Chase. The Lions, whether they tag Galladay and trade him or keep him, like, they'd still be missing receivers in the offseason. So I like the fit with Miami, but again, I don't know if Miami's going to want to go there at number 3 overall.
Well, the other thing is, could Miami just trade out of the third spot and get him at, say, right, 5? Or, you know, we've talked about the Broncos wanting to come up. Like, I think that the top 5 of the draft could be, like, I mean, out of those top 5 picks, it literally could be 4 quarterbacks and Penei Sewell. That would not surprise me at all. And then you see a run of wide receivers and what have you after that. That would not surprise me at all, considering the quarterbacks in this draft, considering what teams needs and some of those teams that are sitting inside the top 10 or around it. So Miami trading out of that third pick, acquiring a little more firepower for the depth chart would not surprise me at all. But, I mean, out of all these fits, Miami makes a ton of sense, guys. Thor, before we get you out of here, man, I know you talked about your running back rankings. What else are you working on for NBC that's about to drop?
Running backs and receivers coming next, followed by tight ends. And then we'll just be rolling on through. So come and check us out, NBC Sports Edge now.
Yeah, man. So you need to be checking out all of Thor's fantastic content for NBC. Follow him on Twitter at ThorKU. This has been a fantastic episode, guys. Tons of fun. We are going to run this back, talk about Rashad Bateman. Going to be heading to the Twitter account for Fade the Chalk, at Chalk Fade. Get signed up for the Calvin Ridley jersey we're giving away. Head over to iTunes. Give us a review. Send us a screenshot of that review. Once we hit 200, it is gone. For this episode, Fade the Chalk. We are out.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Fade the Chalk with Derek and Adam. Make sure to follow your hosts and the podcast on Twitter at @DBRO_FFB, at APPfeiffer24, and at ChalkFade. Smash that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode.